I don't know about you. I don't want to ever be resistant to God's favor. When we have pride in our life, we become grace resistant. We become favor resistant. I believe this. God is often trying to bless us. God is often trying to do things for us. He's often trying to show favor to us, but we have pride sometimes.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christians express their faith in a variety of ways. However, there are times when our faith is discouraged by our circumstances and our faith suffers. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is built and encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part two of an authoritative faith.
So what is faith? We defined this last week. Faith is action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. And you can say, well, where do we find that in Scripture? And here's the deal. If we're going to take one scripture to define faith, we're going to really minimize what faith is. Because we automatically think of Hebrews 11:1 as a definition for faith. It is, but it's not the only definition, and it's clearly not the only example of faith. The Bible is full of faith, correct? It's full of the example of faith. So should we take, again, the counsel of God's entire word to define such an important subject? Amen? So faith, we see, has action. It has belief, and it has confidence. Faith is more than believing, amen? It's not about just believing the Bible, and it's not about just knowing about Jesus. Those things are important, but it's important that we walk by faith, we serve Him, and that we have a relationship with Him. And it's something that's real. It's not something that is mystical. It's not something that is hard to define. It should be clearly easy to define. That is a relationship with Him. Experiencing Him as Savior is just one part of our faith journey. Submitting to His authority is the other part. I hope you heard me when I said that. Just experiencing Him as Savior is one part of our faith journey. The other part is this, serving Him as Lord, submitting ourselves to Him as Lord. That's the other part of our faith journey. When we come and give our lives to Jesus, that's just the beginning of our walk with God. It's not the end. It's not the completion of it. We then serve God. We begin to walk with God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has made that option available. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We're encouraged. We can do so. We can walk by faith. We can live by faith. But coming to the altar is not the end of it. And some of you know that very clearly. Some of you were led to believe that even at one time, that coming to the altar, that was it. Friend, that was just the start, amen? It was just the start. Listen, you encountered Jesus as Savior, and that's great, but now you must encounter Him as Lord, and Lord over your life. The centurion, his story is wonderful. It's a great illustration of how faith and authority should interact. And a Roman centurion was a captain of 100 soldiers. 100 loyal soldiers were under his care. And often a centurion was a soldier who had come up through the ranks. He had become an enlisted man, and because his bravery, because of his courage, because of his skill, noted by his superior officers, he was often then elevated to that place. But a centurion was basically a captain, and under his leadership was 100 soldiers. Now, when we think of the Roman soldiers, they're the baddest of their time. They were skilled at what they did. Centurion under authority, but he had authority, so he understood authority. Again, he had generals who were over him, who supervised him, his commanding officers, but he also had 100 soldiers submitted under his care. So the first thing I want you to notice about the soldier's faith, his great faith, is his understanding and his respect for authority. Look verses 2 and 3. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die, verse 3. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Why did this man send a delegation? This man has authority, correct? This man has authority in the community. Why didn't he just go himself? Remember, Jesus' mission is to who? To Israel, to the children of Israel. This guy is wiser than you think. This guy understands authority, and this is what we miss in the story. The elders in the society were not necessarily those that were appointed or elected. They were simply elders because they were respected in the community. These were men that were in the community that were respected, had a good reputation, they had integrity. Their power was in their influence. There's still people in communities today that they may not be elected, but they hold influence in a community. They're respected. We find that a lot in smaller towns, that a person has influence because of their integrity, because of their character, because of their nature. And that's who these people were. This man was very wise how he approached Jesus, because he understood that, remember, he's a soldier. He is part of an occupying force. This guy is not popular amongst the populace. They're an invading force. They are a conquering force. They are there, and they are there holding. He has 100 soldiers under him. They're in this community. They keep the peace. They keep things in order. So this guy is not very popular. The man who he's trying to approach is a Jewish rabbi. Now, he understands that, listen, it's not wise for me to go and approach this guy directly. What I'll do is, and I'll appeal to the authority that exists. And the authority that exists was influence. And the influence was in these elders. Very wise how he approached this. He uses wisely the channels of these local leaders, the channels of authority. The centurion does not walk up to Jesus himself demanding him to come and heal his servant. That would break a protocol as well. See, this man is very wise. He understands the customs that he's dealing with, and he deals within that structure. He's a Gentile. He's a soldier. And he wisely appeals to the elders of the community. The elders of the community look at this centurion not as a bad guy because, again, what was their remark? He's built the synagogue for us. He's done this. He's done that. So he has respect with them. The Romans were a very powerful force. They would come in and they would conquer. But what we miss in the story is they would, remember, who were the tax collectors? Tax collectors were people from the populace. They would take people from the community, put them in places of power and position in order to have influence. So this centurion understands the system very well. And so what he does, whether he was for the Jews having a synagogue or not, he was going to build that synagogue for them. Why? So he could have influence. But see, he understood that system. And he just didn't go up to Jesus and demand him to heal his servant. He operated through those channels of authority. The second thing I want you to see about this soldier's great faith is this. He humbled himself, even though he's a man with authority. In Luke 7, 6 and 7, then Jesus went to them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, look at this, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Verse 7, therefore I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Now think about this. Twice in this request of the centurion, he humbles himself, doesn't he? He humbles himself. He is a man in a place of position. He's probably the most powerful figure in the community. He's probably the most powerful authority in the community. Yet he humbles himself to a place where he says, I'm not even worthy to have you come into my house. See, he's showing us an example here, something we need to learn. That it doesn't matter who we are, who we think we are, God's going to respond to humility, amen? He's going to respond to a humble heart. This man keeps the peace in the region. He has 100 soldiers under his command. He could have a lot of arrogance, and he could have a lot of pomp that comes with him, but he doesn't. He chooses to submit himself. The centurion could have had Jesus rounded up. He could have had Jesus brought to him. But that's not how he chooses. He chooses to send a delegation that Jesus would respect and listen to. And he did. He listened to these elders. These elders would have respect in the nation. He accomplished what he set out to do. And so then when he finds out Jesus is on his way, it begins to set up the story for the example of great faith. He says, Lord, I'm not even worthy to have you come to my house. A soldier of this caliber knows how to command troops. But he also knows how to submit to orders. See, I think sometimes we miss that. We know what authority is, but sometimes we don't submit to authority. The important thing is that we submit ourselves to the authority of God. The third thing I want you to see about the soldier's great faith is his that ability to submit. And then you see the reason why he submits is this. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. A proud heart is, listen to me, is grace resistant. A proud heart is grace resistant. Grace is defined as favor. A person who is not willing to fully submit themselves to God in a situation is resistant then to grace. Resistant to his favor. I don't know about you, I don't want to ever be resistant to God's favor. But when we have pride in our life, we become grace resistant. We become favor resistant. I believe this. God is often trying to bless us. God is often trying to do things for us. He's often trying to show favor to us, but we have pride sometimes. Do you know this, that there are times that happen in church that there will be a call to the altar, and some of you will dig your heels in and grab a hold of that pew, and you won't give in. I'll go home and pray. How has that worked out for you? See, sometimes we lack humility. Sometimes we lack the humility, and therefore we won't submit. God will resist the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. We don't understand that the power position is humility. We understand authority this way. The person at the top, the head honcho, the big cheese, the head hog, right? He's the one with the authority. But in the kingdom of God, it's the person who humbles himself who has the most authority. See, Jesus came as God in the flesh. But when he took up the towel the night, the Lord's Supper, and he put on the towel and he washed his disciples' feet, he showed them an example. The most powerful position was not the person at the head of the table. The most powerful position in the kingdom of God was the person who had wrapped the apron around themselves and washed their feet. God opposes an inward exaltation. We can look all humble on the outside, but we can be full of pride on the inside. Pride can hide very easily in the flesh. It hides easily in the flesh. See, God is so resistant to pride because it originates with Lucifer. It originates with Satan. Pride is part of the original sin. Pride is a work of the flesh. Pride is central to our carnal nation, our nature. Pride is resistant to authority, and every one of us, look at me, every one of us, including myself, deal with pride. We all deal with pride in different measures. Pride has five letters. The middle letter is the letter I. There's a reason why that big letter I is in the middle, because it's all about me, myself, and I. That becomes resistant to God's favor. Sometimes we hit a brick wall. You ever hit a brick wall in a situation? You're praying, you're believing, you're trusting God, and there's just a brick wall. You just run into it. You're like, what's going on? I don't understand. God, you've declared this. You've promised this. And why am I not receiving? Why is this not? Because sometimes it's a pride issue. We'll have preachers will say, then it's a faith issue. You need more faith. But often what it is, it's a pride issue. Because God resists the pride. He resists the proud. He resists pride itself, but he gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we don't like to hear that. You know, sometimes we can go through a situation, we want God to do things. God, you said in your word, you would do this, so I want you to do it now, this way. And sometimes we in churches will teach people that's the way you approach God. Can I tell you, you don't tell God what he's going to do. All right, that is a bad place to put yourself in, and you're going to fail miserably, by the way, and you're going to be very discouraged. But we actually have, now I believe there's power in proclaiming God's word. I believe there's power in standing on the promises of God's word. I believe there's a position we should take on God's word.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The word of God calls believers to walk by faith and not by sight. It's my hope that your faith has been encouraged by this message. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a home church, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, or adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.